Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day as we move toward the Thanksgiving holiday. It'll be a Thanksgiving like no other, but still with lots of reasons for gratitude. Some for Trumpians, as he puts it, are very obvious in the election if you just look in the right places. So says my friend Daniel Henninger, who writes every week on Thursdays. His Wonderland column is indispensable in terms of a guidance and perspective on contemporary events. It is in the Wall Street Journal today under the headline, Hey Trumpians, Cheer Up. Daniel is deputy editor of the Wall Street Journal's editorial page. Before we get to the dramatic events of today and the current situation with the presidential race, there's plenty of good things that conservatives can celebrate about the election if they only look for them. Maybe you could mention two, Daniel.
Two, all right. Let's see if I can pick two out of this. Well, we know what's going on in the Senate. They did a lot better than one might have expected in the Senate. Let's concentrate on the House of Representatives, which the Democrats thought they would increase their majority. Instead, the majority has shrunk. Republicans, and especially Republican women, Michael, did very well across the country. It was an extraordinary performance. But what it looks to me is the result of this, the consequence, most likely, is that Nancy Pelosi is a lame duck House Speaker. Typically in midterm elections, after a president gets elected the first time, his party loses. Barack Obama gave up 60 seats in the House in his first midterm, and Bill Clinton gave up 54. And we're probably looking at less than a 20-seat majority for the House Democrats, which suggests that Nancy Pelosi's days are numbered. And my second related point would be, take a look at a map put out by, say, the National Conference of State Legislatures, which shows partisan control of legislatures across the country. And what you see is a lot of red. Democrats thought they were going to flip control of at least one chamber in Texas, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and North Carolina. They failed in all of them, and add to that Republican full control in such battleground states as Georgia, Ohio, Wisconsin, Florida, and Arizona. What that means, Michael, is that the Republicans in those legislatures will be redrawing congressional and state district maps for the next 10 years. So contrary to what many conservatives and Republicans thought, that we might be heading into a generation of wilderness, that does not look like it is in the offing at all. So I thought there was really, in looking down into the tea leaves of this election, there really was cause for optimism going forward.
Without question, and maybe that can even be confirmed with strong victories in both of those Georgia runoff elections, which are taking place in January. But before we get to those runoff elections, we have to settle the presidential election. And the president's legal representatives, led by Rudy Giuliani and including Sidney Powell and Jenna Ellis and others, they don't believe that the presidential election is at all close to being settled and that President Trump actually won by millions and millions of votes. That was declared today. How do we get a national consensus and a legal basis for moving forward to a transfer of power, or is a transfer of power even appropriate? What's your take on all this, Daniel? How do we get out of this?
Well, that's a good question. How we get out of it on two levels, politically and, I guess, legally would be the other one. First one, the political level, is looks difficult. especially if one watched the presentation today by Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell. They are not arguing merely that there were mistakes made with the election that would close discrepancy, the differences between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. They are arguing that literally a massive conspiracy was committed, a fraud, across many, many states, not just the three or four in question here, but many other states, that literally a fraud and conspiracy was run from a, as Mr. Giuliani put, a centralized point with Joe Biden himself in on it and directing campaign officials in upwards of 10 states to actively reverse votes to steal the election from Donald Trump. This probably would be the greatest political conspiracy in the history of the world if it were proven, which leads us to the legal point, which is very difficult because, as Rudy Giuliani kept saying, they do have affidavits, they do have filings they're going to make in court. So presumably this will be resolved in state and federal courts with the presentations and facts presented by Rudy and Sidney Powell. And if judges do not rule in their favor, then they really don't have much recourse beyond this point, other than trying to perhaps overturn the Electoral College votes in state legislatures. We may get to that before the end of the year. But I think eventually the legal challenges, just run out of gas, and you're left with the result that Joe Biden got more electoral votes than Donald Trump, and thereby won the election.
The difficult aspect of all of this is that Joe Biden is approaching 80 million votes. This is not a particularly close election. It's getting it's 3.9% advantage for Biden in the popular vote. I'm not even sure. Did you understand what it is that Rudy wants to have happen? Does he want to have a re-vote? Does he want the election to be overturned? That's a phrase he's used before. What's the goal?
Well, I think he did. So they do want the election overturned. And the implication would almost be that they want it rerun with guardrails in place to avoid all of the fraud that they describe. Sidney Powell, however, in citing this, the software created by Dominion, is arguing almost explicitly that the algorithms and software made it possible to reverse hundreds of thousands, if not millions of votes in states all across the country. And, as they describe it, it would almost sound as though technically it is impossible to run an accurate election anymore in the United States, which would seem to be a problem way beyond what we're talking about here. If the process of elections is so technically compromised and so vulnerable to fraud and cheating on such a vast scale, then a lot of people, I think, in the country would just lose faith in the idea that any fair elections could be held. What's kind of interesting as a footnote, Michael, is that despite this death struggle between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, nothing like this is happening at the Senate or House level. Some of those elections were very close, but none of the losers on either the Democratic or Senate side are suggesting that their elections were similarly stolen by one side or the other, which I took to be one of the clear implications of what Sidney Powell was saying, that any election could be stolen like this and probably has been. So we're left with just this sort of difficulty of resolving a presidential election to the satisfaction of all the complainants. And as you were just suggesting, some of those complainants have to include the 80 million people who did in fact vote for Joe Biden. And whether it was 78 million or 80 million, those people, average Americans, do have a stake in the legitimacy.
As do we all, every single one of us. Daniel Henninger, The Wall Street Journal, Godspeed to you and happy Thanksgiving. We will be right back. Have you had the chance to visit our partners at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College? Faithandfreedom.com or click at the banner at michaelmedved.com. They're a top think tank in the nation for the application of faith and freedom. That's why I visit Grove City College every year to be part of their annual conference, speaking on more than a dozen different topics to a total of thousands of participants. I'm proud to broadcast this show from their campus every year when I'm there, because it's such a wonderful event. Unfortunately, this year's conference was postponed due to the pandemic, but I encourage you to visit their website. All of their past conferences are available. You can catch my talks along with many other great presentations. Dr. Paul Kenger, Jonah Goldberg, Rick Santorum, Ross Douthat, Ralph Peters, Robbie George, and many, many more. Go to faithandfreedom.com to see wonderful presentations from the sharpest minds in America. Faithandfreedom.com or click at the banner at michaelmedved.com.
The coronavirus pandemic has thrown our nation into somewhat of a chaotic situation, and we now find ourselves in completely uncharted territory. As usual, the media presents a confusing, often exaggerated portrayal of events. So where can you go for reliable information? The American Council on Science and Health, ACSH. ACSH is a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to separate fact from fiction and health scares from legitimate health threats. Their expert scientists and medical doctors have been communicating science to the public since 1978. At ACH.org, you'll get answers to all your coronavirus questions. How does it spread? Should I wear a mask? Will there be a treatment? How can I keep my family safe? ACSH also debunks common myths, such as vitamin C being a cure. ACSH provides indispensable analysis in this era of disinformation. You can sign up for a free daily newsletter and contribute to this vital organization. Go to ACSH.org today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight, and nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
On the Michael Medved show, there are all kinds of looming difficulties facing the nation. Obviously, we're in the midst of a terrible pandemic, with cases going up, deaths at an appalling level. I just found that people that we know, they live in a different city. We haven't been exposed to them. Both a husband and wife, longtime couple, are seriously ill with COVID-19. And I'm sure that almost everyone listening to me understands that this problem is not going away immediately. And despite the wonderful progress on vaccinations, to which all credit to President Trump and his team and moving the process forward so quickly, that even with that, we have a winter to get through. And it's one of the reasons I believe at some point this afternoon we are expecting a coronavirus press briefing, but President Trump's not going to be there. It's going to be run by Vice President Pence. And one of the points that I was planning to speak with you about today before all of this intervening drama and the accusations by Rudy Giuliani and company is, and those accusations make it even more necessary. The inauguration of a new president is usually one of the most joyous, memorable, and significant rituals of our republic. And it's a beautiful thing. It is extraordinary when you look at, I was looking back a little bit at English history, because of course you have periods of time where they had 35 years of incredibly bloody warfare, where the equivalent adjusted for population would be about 3 million Brits died. It wasn't that many because the population of Britain was so small then. But 3 million died, equivalent if adjusted to U.S. current population. It's 1 out of 100. A fighting between the House of York and the House of Lancaster about kind of nothing, what was called the War of the Roses in the 15th century. And, okay, that kind of difficulty was all made possible because it was unclear who was going to run a country. And this wasn't ideological differences because they all shared the same ideology. It was just basically tribal, like gang warfare, and horrible. And one of the glories of the United States is our founders set up this system where there was an orderly way to choose a new ruler, where there was a set term for any given ruler who would come to power only with the consent of the governed. And in that context, the inauguration of a president, if you think about last time, President Obama was entirely gracious to President Trump. He invited him to the White House. President Trump said that was just a wonderful meeting. And they were supposed to meet for about an hour. They met for 2.5 hours. And they apparently enjoyed each other's company. And President Obama made way for President Trump, the same way that President Bush made way for President Obama, despite very bitter criticism of President Bush by President Obama. And this is something that matters. It matters when Trump took the oath of office and had his inaugural address, that Barack Obama was right by him, near him, physically near him, and Barack Obama's family. So what happens in the inauguration of President Biden? And yes, I do believe that Joe Biden won the election, and he won it not in a particularly close race. He won in a decisive manner. And given the fact that the results of the election are being so bitterly contested right now, I think it's extremely likely that that President Trump is going to become the fourth president in the history of the country not to go to the inauguration of his successor. Okay, so the question is, who were the other presidents? John Adams, who was the first incumbent president to ever lose a bid for re-election. He lost to his old friend Thomas Jefferson, incredibly bitter fight, and then there was a tie in the Electoral College between Burr and Jefferson, and Adams slightly behind. In any event, Adams did invite Jefferson for dinner at the White House before his inauguration. But he felt so humiliated by his loss that he left town in the dead of night the night before the inauguration. And his son, John Quincy Adams, the sixth president of the United States, did the same thing when he lost to Andrew Jackson. He just left town the night before and didn't show up. The only other president before now who didn't show up for his successor was Andrew Johnson, who had been Lincoln's vice president for literally just a few weeks before Lincoln was shot and became president, was completely unready for the job, was a disastrous president, got himself impeached, and unlike President Trump, he came very close to being removed from office. One vote would have removed him from office. So he felt bitter about the Republicans who were coming in to replace him, and General Grant was widely popular. President Johnson was despised, so during the time that President Grant was being inaugurated, he just sat in his office, signing some last-minute papers and preparing to skulk off in humiliation, really, to Tennessee. Now, President Trump has spoken about the prospect of running again in 2024. I think that's entirely possible. I was one of the first people to write about that a year ago. But the truth of the matter is, I think it's unlikely that President Trump is going to attend this inauguration, because he has said so many different times and ways that he believes the election is invalid that it really, in today's polarized world, what does it mean for the beginning of a new presidential term? And for what usually is a festival of freedom and continuity and rule of law, what does it mean if the outgoing president refuses to recognize the validity of the victory of his successor? And there's one person, I think, who can play a very, very big role in this. And that person is the Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence. Because he has been as loyal as he possibly could be to President Trump. But I do hope that Mike Pence attends the inauguration, even if Trump doesn't want him to. What would that look like? What it would look like is America and the peaceful transfer of power, which is as sacred and time-honored an American tradition as we have. 1-800-955-1776, our phone number. We'll be right back.
Entertain your brain.
It's awesome.
Every day on The Michael Medved Show.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
three Republican governors are promising to not shut down their states no matter how bad the pandemic gets. Texas Governor Greg Abbott, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, and South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem have recently made the pledge, even as cases are surging in all three states. As we continue to hear good news regarding at least two coronavirus pandemic vaccines, House Minority Leader from California, Kevin McCarthy, has a message for Democratic governors regarding the vaccines.
I think they should allow this administration that did Operation Warp Speed and stop playing politics with it. We have a safe and secure, not one vaccine, but on the cusp of having three in the short time period. Dr. Slawi is not playing political games. He's been planning this and has done 14 vaccines before this. He's put the American public first.
McCarthy also saying another stimulus bill needs to be passed. This is USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
On the Michael Medved show, a good email came in, and I wanted to share it with you. It's from John in Vista, California. And he writes, Michael shouldn't be disturbed by the large numbers of conservatives who doubt the integrity of the election. We hear the claims made by the president and his legal team, and it's probably wishful thinking, hoping for a magic solution, kind of like birtherism. But if and when Rudy G. and the other attorneys fail to produce this earth-shattering evidence, then they will look like fools, and all will soon be forgotten. If they actually have something, then we, the whole U.S., have real problems. Okay, if they actually have something, by the way, I agree with every word of the email. I think it's terrific, and it's a good insight. And you're right, this is like birtherism. In other words, I know so many people who wanted birtherism to be true because conservatives hated getting beaten by Barack Obama and getting beaten in a landslide in 2008, which really stands out as the only recent election that was really a very decisive margin. And Obama carried all kinds of states that conservatives don't, that conservatives generally do carry. So this idea that he was born in Kenya and therefore ineligible to be president, one of my problems with birtherism was, okay, even if they developed some photographic evidence that there he was, and this was Obama, and there was some distinguishing characteristic, and he was coming out of his mother, and he was located in Kenya, you know what? He would still have been eligible to run for president. Because his mother was undoubtedly an American citizen. She was born in Wichita, Kansas. And we established Ted Cruz was allowed to run for president because his mother was an American citizen. And that Ted Cruz was born in Canada. And by the way, nobody had to ferret out the birth certificates. I mean, Ted Cruz was really born in Canada and he really was eligible to run for president. Who knows? He may run for president again. The entire birtherism thing was madness. And the problem there is the difference there is that it was never embraced by enough Americans to represent some kind of threat to Barack Obama's functioning as president. He did. I don't think he functioned very well, but he functioned. And the overwhelming majority of Americans accepted him as a legitimate president of the United States who won election twice. Okay, the difficulty here is that the way that the polling registers right now. Now, what's fascinating about this new Monmouth poll is it has good news about Americans at large, but very bad news about Republicans. The good news about Americans at large is that a strong majority say they are certain, very certain, or somewhat certain, that the election was fair and honest and came out the way that people think it did. The bad news is the overwhelming majority of Republicans and of people who voted for President Trump believe what the president has been saying since before the election, that the election was rigged against him and there was some kind of conspiratorial effort to defeat him. The question that I think actually needs to be answered, and it needs to be answered by President Trump and the people around him and the people who are his loyal supporters, is that given the fact that at least a month before the election he was using terminology like rigged and it's fixed and it's unreliable and it's corrupt, and he didn't like the idea of allowing people to mail in ballots because of the COVID-19. Now, there were still mail-in ballots all across the country before COVID-19, but this expanded the use of mail-in ballots, and I believe this is the first election ever for president where the overwhelming majority of the votes were cast were mailed in rather than people waiting in line in polling places. Okay, given the fact that President Trump hated that, why didn't he work with some of the Republican governors? A majority of states have Republican governors. The majority of state legislatures are controlled by Republicans. Work with them for whatever mitigating factors would have reassured him to do that before the election, rather than calling the entire process into dispute after the election. The president of the United States is not a pitiful, helpless giant. That's a phrase that Richard Nixon used about the way that people looked at the United States when he first came to office, as a pitiful, helpless giant. And no, the president has real power. And by the way, so does the vice president. And I was talking before about Mike Pence and how if the president continues to refuse to concede, if we go into the inauguration period and the Electoral College vote and everything happens but the president refuses to concede, refuses to acknowledge that he lost the election, I think it's entirely possible that he either goes home quietly and angrily, or much more likely that he does some counter-inauguration event. Can't you see it? And maybe he does it across town, somewhere else in Washington, but much more likely he'll go where the weather is better in January 20th. Florida. Inauguration Day is a Wednesday. And he'll get some kind of gigantic crowd, I don't know, in Jacksonville or who knows, near Mar-a-Lago, anywhere. And he will sketch out his own vision for the next 4 years and his plans to provide leadership for the country. And you know what? You can hear it right away, regardless of how large a crowd attends either Biden's inauguration in Washington or Trump's counter. Trump will talk about how much bigger his crowd size was. In all of that context, this is Mike Pence's moment. Because to preserve the Republican Party as some kind of viable force in this country, some kind of credible force that people of conscience can actually turn to, it'll be necessary for very prominent Republicans not to go to any rival Trump event, not to boycott the inauguration. I thought it was shameful when Democrats were boycotting Trump's inauguration. And if you'll remember, the late John Lewis, who was a great American, decided not to attend. All of that is a shame. The tradition that we have of treating our opponents as opponents, not as enemies. And yes, that's the kind of language that the president-elect, Vice President Biden, whose birthday is tomorrow, by the way. Tomorrow he's 78 years young. With all of that going on, it's so important that we at least acknowledge that we are one country. It doesn't help to do that if there are plans, and serious plans now, and particularly in the state of Pennsylvania, to try to use a quirk in the U.S. Constitution to send 20 electoral votes from Pennsylvania back to Washington, where they would have to be accepted by both houses of Congress. They get to vote separately if there is a contested ballot. And would there be a contested ballot? Would there be a contested slate of electors from Pennsylvania? Highly likely, for reasons I will explain. It's why there needs to be some kind of, and you know what, Thanksgiving is a great time for it. We're coming up to the Thanksgiving holiday. And shouldn't it be possible for Americans to get together on this basic reaffirmation of our institutions? And yes, Mr. Vice President, please show up at the inauguration, regardless of what your boss does. We'll be right back on the Medved Show. This is Michael Medved, and I know you're worried, like everybody else, about the coronavirus and its impact on our future. Now, all the false, fake information spreading around the internet really does bother me, especially about the economy and how it impacts your financial future. I've always trusted Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, to advise me on the right moves. Nick?
With the government adding nearly $5 trillion in liquidity, the uptrend in metals is likely to accelerate. The problem is, the supply of physical gold, silver, and platinum is severely limited and likely to get a lot worse as various mints and refiners are closed. With my 40 years worth of connections, I can help your listeners acquire gold, silver, or platinum, even though many dealers are sold out.
Call Nick Grovich at 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694. Or go to AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694 at AmericanFederal.com. Right now, at this moment of crisis, a lot of people have a lot more on their minds than just normal aches and pains. But I'll tell you why dealing with those normal aches and pains is so important. Because one of the things you need to do to strengthen yourself, to help face all of the challenges that are out there, is regular exercise. And if you're hurting, if your legs or your feet or your arms are hurting, you can't do it. Relief Factor really can help. The 3-week quick start is here to stay. It's discounted all the way down to $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. There are no drugs, no chemicals, just good, healthful stuff. You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. Call them directly, 800-500-8384. Go to michaelmedved.com and click on the banner. That's michaelmedved.com. Click on the banner or call 800-500-8384.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans. Nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Thing about this greatest nation is the idea that every citizen has a right to make his or her voice heard. You can make your voice heard more clearly, more forcefully with your elected representatives by going to contactmypolitician.com. This is a great service. It is entirely free, costs you absolutely nothing. It is totally nonpartisan. It gives you the opportunity with a few clicks on your computer to send a message in writing or a video message or an audio message, anything you want, to your local representatives, to your statewide representatives, to your federal representatives. It takes just moments of your time, and it can help elevate you to a whole new level of engagement and involvement with our politics. Go to contactmypolitician.com, an absolutely free service and a public service. And don't forget to tell them that Michael sent you. Let's go to the Vice President of the United States, who is speaking with an update from his leadership of the coronavirus task force, I believe in the White House briefing room. Here's Vice President Pence.
General Pern had come here today to make that presentation to the American people, and it is in a very real sense putting us in a position that literally the day after one of these vaccines is approved, we'll be shipping vaccines to the American people, and within a day after that, we'll be seeing those vaccines injected into Americans, with a particular focus on those most vulnerable and those that are providing health care to the American people. Finally, we'll talk with a bit about the way forward. As state and local governments are continuing to act and take mitigation measures to slow the spread, you can assure them, as we did governors again this week, that we'll support decision-making at the local level. We'll continue to support decisions that are made in each individual community based on the circumstances on the ground. But that being said, President Trump wanted me to make it clear that our task force, this administration, and our president does not support another national lockdown. And we do not support closing schools. You'll hear from Dr. Robert Redfield of the CDC that Actually, the CDC never recommended that we close schools at any point this year. And Dr. Eleanor McCants-Katz, who is also serves with the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services at HHS, will describe the real costs to children being away from school. In every one of these cases, we're going to give you the best information that we have up to this moment. And I just want to assure the American people, as I trust that you will have a sense today, that we're going to continue to work around the clock to meet this moment. But help is on the way. We have every confidence that in a short period of time, we could have one or more safe and effective vaccines for the American people. And as each of us does our part in partnership with state and local officials, each of us does our part to look after our own families and our own communities. I believe the day is coming soon when we will put this coronavirus in the past. With that, let me...
Vice President Mike Pence, I think he's turning to other members of the coronavirus task force. I don't know if he is going to be making himself available for questions. Look, it's been a very unusual period of time for President Trump because he has been tweeting up a storm. He's been golfing up a storm, but he's had no events on his public schedule at all. And that, of course, goes to a column that's actually fairly entertaining. But Robin Given, a senior critic at large, writes in the Washington Post. The headline is, "The President is Golfing and Exercising White Male Privilege." Does that mean that, there's an obvious example of Tiger Woods, but do you have to be a white male to enjoy golfing and exercising? What she says is this. She says, "Few images capture the position of privilege from which the president operates better than the ones that depict him at his golf club in Virginia. In several of the pictures, he isn't playing the game or even holding a club, but rather simply tooling around the course like a feudal lord in a golf cart with his personalized campaign baseball cap pulled low. These aren't depictions of a sportsman or a statesman. For Donald Trump, who has recently turned golfing into his prime presidential duty, second only to tweeting, they are portraits of a reckless man in full, specifically a man full of himself. The picture of a well-fed white man in a golf cart at a private club is a familiar trope in film and literature that has long been used to telegraph a narrative about fat cat economics, stifling social hierarchies, and inherited advantages." Okay, did people respond the same way when President Eisenhower, who came from a very humble background, used to love to spend time on the golf course? And I remember there's a guy named Obama who came from a very unusual background. His mother was an academic, but he did not come from tremendous inherited wealth or a position of white privilege. But I remember that he spent some time on the golf course, actually a lot of time on the golf course. The idea that this is the focus on the president right now, it concludes would echo, which is a plea that the president reconcile himself to the results of the election. And by all means, authorize his associates to go after any evidence they can find of occasional mistakes or elements of fraud. If there are any elements of fraud, people should be prosecuted. That's a crime. That's a felony. Interfering in our elections is a very serious matter. But she says the only voices that can silence that white privilege come from those who also have it. And so she concludes with this: "It's significant that Michelle Obama turned her attention to the nation's leaders and called on them to stop enabling Trump for the sake of national security." And here she's talking about the completely unprecedented fact that here we are 16 days after our election, and we still do not have a concession for a winner. perhaps they will listen. Perhaps they will pull the president aside and broker a deal with a bit of straight talk and an elbow bump. Perhaps they will do so. Just a couple of lucky white guys on the golf course. It's very peculiar. The idea to reduce everything to a racial reality. It's one of those things that if anyone had written a column toward the end of the Obama administration, somehow trying to connect some of Obama's decisions or some of his welcoming of his successor, which he did do, connect that to his identity as an African-American, as a person of color, would there have been some objection to that being unfair, dangerous, unspeakable? The idea that the president gets criticized for everything, even golfing, and as a display of white male privilege. Not everyone on the golf course is privileged. And by the way, I have never had any personal desire to golf. It requires a level of patience and concentration that I'm a little bit high energy for that. Speaking of which, high energy, there's this from the Associated Press that in Pennsylvania, Trump campaign lawyers are asking a federal judge to consider a new solution to their challenge to Pennsylvania's election results. Declare the statewide vote defective and empower the state's Republican-controlled legislature to appoint the state's delegates to the Electoral College. That remedy, writes the Associated Press, laid out in a revised complaint, has only limited basis in the law and would effectively disregard the votes cast by 6.8 million Pennsylvanians. But the U.S. Constitution does grant state legislatures the authority to determine the rules by which elections take place. And in Pennsylvania, it has left the appointment of Electoral College electors up to the governor. So where do you go with this? The governor is a Democrat. And the answer is a scary one for this greatest nation on God's green earth.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.